If you're thankful for the Waymaker, somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open up with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And while we're doing that, we'll dismiss kids to children's church. Y'all can make your way to the back. Several in the hospital lately, and a couple have gotten out. It's good to see y'all in church today, and we got a couple that are still there, so we want to continue to pray, and not just in our church family, but in our community. There's a lot of sickness, a lot of illness, so we want to be a praying church, so let's continue to lift those up to the Lord. All right, we are going to start a new sermon series that ties in with what we're trying to do grow spiritually in the year 2022. And the sermon series is called Faith Foundations. And our foundation is the truths from Scripture that we believe. That's what we have built our faith and our life upon. And so what we want to do is dig deep into these faiths that, you know, we may take it for granted and think we know everything there is to know about these basic foundations of what we believe. But no matter how many times we open God's Word, how many times we've read a particular passage, the Holy Spirit can still help us see it in a new perspective. He can help us understand not a new truth, but we can understand the truth deeper, right? So that's what we're going to seek to do. Let's see. The reason I decided to start us out this year in this direction is I really believe that it is just as important that we know why we believe something as it is that we believe it. I believe it's very important that we know why we believe what we believe. It's just, it might not be as important to know why you believe what you believe with a lot of other things, but when it comes to faith, it's very important. But with other things, not so much. For instance, if I say, I believe butter pecan is the best flavor ice cream that there is, can I get an amen?
Amen.
I got a few. Okay. Amen. Some people might not agree, right? It's not that important for me to know why I believe that, right? But let's say I say I believe Jesus is the only way to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. It is important that I know why I believe that, right? Butter pecan's up for discussion. Knowing the way to heaven is a truth that can change somebody's eternity, right? So we need to know why we believe what we believe. So with that in mind, we're starting this sermon series with the Bible. Our beliefs all flow from the pages of this book. So before we talk about those individual beliefs, we need to talk about where they come from. What do we believe about the Bible, and why do we believe it? And the Bible itself teaches us about the Bible. God speaks to us through His Word about His Word. The Bible was written by human hands, but it was given to them from God. And we're going to talk more about that in just a few minutes. So the people that God used to record His words, they describe them in some very beautiful and creative ways. Let me share a few of them with you. Ezekiel writes that God's word is like honey in his mouth. Jeremiah says that the word of God is a joy and a delight to his heart. And then just a couple of chapters later, Jeremiah says the word is a fire that burns in his heart. Is that right?
Yes.
Wow. the author of Hebrews writes that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In Psalm 19, the writer says that God's word is perfect and trustworthy. His precepts are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. The ordinance of the Lord are reliable, more desirable than gold. In Psalm 119, the writer says that God's word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. But that's just a few examples of what the word says about the word. The word is beautiful, it's wonderful, it's powerful. The Bible is one of a kind. If you got the word with you, hold it up in the air. Keep your place, hold it up in the air. There is no other book that has ever been written or ever will be written that is anything like this book right here. This is one of a kind. Sure, there's other religious books out there, right? But there is no other book like the Bible. The Bible was written by more than 40 human authors over a span of 1,200 plus years, and yet it has one theme from page one to the very last page. There's no other way to explain that than God. That many people, you can't get two people in a room and get them to agree on an ice cream flavor, much less the story of God and humanity that's going to be worked out by 40 people over 1,200 plus years, and yet it's going to be a continuous story that flows like that. That's a miracle. When we open God's word, we're handling and reading a miracle. These authors, they came from all different walks of life. You've got fishermen, you've got kings, you've got paupers, you've got doctors, farmers, literally from all walks of life, the people that God used to write these words, they came. No other book has ever been published in as many languages and for as many different peoples and cultures as the Bible has. And throughout the years, many different people have predicted that the Bible would eventually become irrelevant. The Bible would eventually fade away, disappear, and wouldn't even be remembered. And yet it continues to be published in more and more languages than ever before. Now, you think about all those amazing things about the Bible, and yet this is the same word that I admittedly fall asleep reading sometimes, right? This is the same amazing book that I can find myself having read a whole page and not have a clue what I read, right? Am I the only one that does that? Or can anybody relate to that? This same word that has captivated the hearts of so many people throughout human history is available to you and me. I would guess everybody in here has at least one physical copy of the Bible. If not, I've got probably a couple dozen. You know, we've all got it on our phones if we want to have it. We have such incredible access to the Word. So let's pray that God will give us a fresh anointing and a fresh perspective on the Word and a fresh desire to learn the Word and to know the Word. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are good. We are thankful for your Word. We're thankful for this rain that we hear right now, Lord. And God, we're just thankful for the opportunity to be together as a church family. And we have had a time of worship. And now, Lord, we want to continue with an attitude of worship as we open your word, God. And we are saying, Lord, speak to us. Give us ears to hear and minds to understand, hearts to obey. Lord, help us to hear you and to obey you, God. I pray that your will be done, that you'll have your way in this service. And we love you and we pray all this in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that prayer, say amen. 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 All right, so let's read 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. This is our main passage of Scripture this morning. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So we're going to start right there. We're going to break down, work our way through this passage of Scripture and see what the Word has to say to us about the Word. All right? So the first thing I want us to see, and if you got a bulletin, there should be an outline on the back, and you're welcome to take notes if you'd like. Number one, the Bible is inspired by God. The Bible is inspired by God. Even though there were more than 40 human authors, they were each inspired by God as they wrote. And when I say inspired, I mean fully inspired. The Bible doesn't contain some truth along with some error. It's completely true. God used each one of these authors to communicate His revelation to us. And He used each person's personality, their writing style, to tell us His truth. So God did not dictate His truth mechanically or robotically, right? He used each individual, the way that they would speak, the way that they thought, their creativity, and He spoke through them. He guided each writer to communicate the truth using their personalities to do it. For instance, when you get an account of something that happened and you talk to several different people that were there, they might tell you the same basic facts, but they're going to describe it differently, right? Because of different people. So it makes sense. The truth is there, but people describe things differently, and so God used the authors in that way. All Scripture is viewed by the writers themselves as words from God. So the people that recorded Scripture, they understood, hey, these aren't my ideas. This is not my truth. This God is giving me this word, and I'm sharing it, right? In Acts chapter 4, the early believers prayed these words, "Sovereign Lord, You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of Your servant, our father David." So they understood, even the early church understood, that the Holy Spirit spoke through David. It's not that they're sitting there elevating David's ideas. David was just the vessel that communicated God's ideas, right? In Romans chapter 3, Paul speaks of Scripture as the very words of God. So it wasn't hidden. It's not mysterious. Scripture itself claims to be the very words of God. So let's look at another key verse that testifies to the inspiration of the Bible. This one is 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21. It says, "Above all, you know this. No prophecy of Scripture comes from the prophet's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The truth of the Bible comes from God, and it's revealed to man by the inspiration and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, we use words differently, so I want to make sure we understand what the Bible is inspired means. The words inspired and inspiration, we use those a little differently than the Bible does. For instance, we might tell somebody they inspire us, or that they are our inspiration. That means that they motivate us, right? That's different from this supernatural inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The text says the Holy Spirit carried them along. And that's how God revealed his truth. He revealed it in his way. The Bible is inspired by God. All right, next, from our passage, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see that the Bible is good for several things. And the first one is this. The Bible is good for teaching. The Bible is good for teaching. There's several passages in God's Word that make this point clear. The Bible is good for teaching. First, Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. That verse is a big motivation for why we are doing the things that we're doing in the service with the call to worship and the memorizing scripture. I believe that the way the Bible describes the way Christians interact with God's Word, it's a continuous 7 days a week. It's a lifestyle more than it is a box that we have to check off. It's more than a Sunday or Wednesday thing. It's a meditate on it. It's a talk about it when you're going along the way. It's a part of who we are and what we do. And so I want us to just continue to grow in that direction. And so Joshua chapter 1 is a big motivating factor for that. These words in this verse were spoken and recorded long before the Old and the New Testaments were completed, but the principle still applies today. God's Word is to be read, meditated on, and obeyed. And it tells us when we do that, we will have spiritual success in life. Another verse. This is a verse that many parents and grandparents have clung to over the years. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, whether we realize it or not, each and every one of us is being instructed and taught every day. You say, "Oh, I got out of school a long time ago. I'm not being taught." Yes, you are. By the things you take in, by the people you interact with, by society around you, we are all being instructed and taught every day. We are constantly receiving and processing information. So we live in a secular society, a postmodern culture, where truth is considered relative. What does that mean? It means truth is flexible. Like, truth is one thing for one person and one thing for another person. That's what our society teaches. If you pay attention to the world around us, that's what's being taught. But the Word of God teaches us that there is one absolute truth. Now, that's one of the most offensive things that you can say in the culture that we live in today, is that there is one absolute truth. And yet, that's what we believe, because that's what God's Word says. Amen. Amen. Cultures and societies change, but God's Word never changes. That's why this is the foundation that we want to build our life upon. We can trust this. You can't trust the culture and the society around you, because it can be prospering 1 minute, and it seems like a long time, but a hundred years, couple hundred years from now, could be completely gone. The The Word of God never changes. It's good for teaching. So we need to be in the Word daily, letting it form us and shape us into the men and women that God wants us to be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible's good for teaching. Letter B, the Bible is also good for rebuking. Rebuking. Some translations use the word reproof instead of rebuke. Both words mean to convict or bring a person to the point of recognizing wrongdoing. It includes the idea of a rebuke, which compels one to see their fault and to admit their error. God's word is true, and when we examine our thoughts and our words and our actions in the light of what we find in God's word, it exposes our sins and failures. And it, just like a flashlight turned on in a pitch black room, it shows us what we couldn't see before. And it shows us our desperate need for God. The rebuking of the word, although it is not usually a pleasant experience, it is one that we should praise God for. We should praise God that he loves us enough to rebuke us through the word so that we can stop going in the wrong direction. It would be unloving if God just let us go and didn't care. But God says, no, I love you, and I want you to see the truth. I want you to see the better way, and I'm going to shine the light of my word into your life and help you to see and expose the sin that's there. But he's a good and gracious and merciful God. So when we cry out to him and we confess and we repent, he forgives us. Amen. Amen? Amen. And he sets us back on that right path. So we should praise God that he loves us enough to rebuke us through his word. So continuing, the Bible's good for teaching and rebuking, and also, letter C, correcting. The Bible is good for correcting. The Bible doesn't simply point out sin. It also corrects it, and it shows us the way back from our wanderings in sin. Can you imagine how depressing it would be to read the Bible if all it did was show us our sins and didn't show us the way out of them and didn't give us hope? If all it did was just show us the bad and didn't tell us the good news of Jesus Christ, it would be a depressing thing to read. But the Bible not only shows us our sins, it points us to our Savior. And it's in him, Jesus Christ, the living word. In him we find forgiveness. We find restoration. And our once sinful behavior can be corrected when we follow God's word. Psalm 119 verse 9 tells us, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word. That doesn't just apply to young men. That applies to all men and women. How can we live for the Lord? How can we keep our way pure? By following God's word. Listen to Paul's words recorded in Acts chapter 20 verse 32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The word is able to build us up and give us the inheritance of eternal life in him. It doesn't matter how long or how briefly a person has been a believer. We all stray from the path. Amen? We all fall short, and we all need the correction of God's word to set us back on the right path. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, the Bible is good for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and also for training in righteousness. The Bible is good for training in righteousness. Now, training seems an awful lot like teaching. So why does this verse include both of them? Think of it like this. Teaching can be done in a classroom setting, but training includes applying what you have learned, and then developing it into a habitual behavior. So training in righteousness is taking God's truth and living it out. And the word is good for that. The training that is written of here is like the type of guidance that a parent gives their child. It's training in the right ways of living that God's truth reveals to us. Now, I love the way Warren Wiersbe breaks down this particular passage. Warren Wiersbe was a gifted preacher and a theologian. He has gone home to be with the Lord, but he wrote about this particular passage. They are profitable for doctrine or teaching, that's what is right, for reproof, rebuke, what is not right, for correction, that's how to get right, and for instruction, training in righteousness, how to stay right. So, Wiersbe's summary of the passage is the Bible tells us what is right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right.
Amen.
Heck yeah, amen. That's good.
Amen.
The Bible tells us what is right and what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. I love that. All right, the final truth from our text this morning is this. Number three, the Bible equips us for every good work. Another way to say that is when we have the Bible, we have everything we need to accomplish God's will in our lives. We're not lacking in anything because in the Word we have everything. This verse tells us we are made complete by God's Word. Completely equipped, completely prepared, completely ready to do what God has called us to do. We don't need miracles or signs and wonders. We don't need money or material things. We don't need power and influence. We don't need fame. We don't need anything else because God completely equips us through His Word. Last week, we looked at Isaiah 55. In that chapter, the following verse tells us about God's Word, Isaiah 55:11. So my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do. It will accomplish what God pleases. It will do what God sent it to do. It doesn't say it will accomplish what God wants it to do if Grant's good enough of a preacher. No, it doesn't matter. It's God's word. The power is in God's word. It's not in the preacher. It's not in the person. The power is in God's word. And we have the promise from Scripture that His word will accomplish what He sent it to accomplish. So we can rest easy. Because I can mess something up real quick. I don't know. I may be the only one. Right? But it comforts me to know that the power is in the Word and not in me.
Amen.
And that applies to you too. The power is not in you. It's in God's Word. God's Word never fails. So as we draw this sermon to a close, I want us to take what we know about the Bible and think through a couple of quick practical ways that we should respond to that truth. So I'll give you a couple of practical application points. These aren't on the screen. You can just jot them down if you're taking notes. Number one, we have to place great value on God's Word. We've got to value God's Word. We have to understand that the Bible is the source of truth. And so we've got to value it appropriately, accordingly. We can't allow the world, we can't allow ourselves to determine what truth is. The Bible determines that. Amen?
Amen.
Number two, we have to hide God's Word in our hearts. We have to make God's Word the highest priority in our lives. Not saying that's easy to do, because it's not. But if we will do that, we will be blessed. God will be glorified. We need the Word. We have to spend time in the Word and commit the Word to memory so that we can recall the truth Like I said a little bit earlier, sometimes it's going to be you that needs that verse, right? And God's going to bring it to your mind and it's going to minister to you. And sometimes it's going to be that person that you're sitting across from talking to, and they're going to need that verse. And God brings it to your mind and you share it and it ministers to them. That's why we need the word in our hearts.
Amen.
There's an old saying that for a lot of people, the only Bible they'll ever read is your life. Right? So how we act and carry ourselves is important, but it's also important what we say. Amen.
Amen.
And if we've got God's word in our minds, in our hearts, and we're ready to communicate that, it's going to bless them and it's going to bless us. We've got to hide God's word in our hearts. Number three, we have to share God's word with others. It's good to share a smile. It's good to share a helping hand. It's good to share our resources with people that are in need. But above all those things, people desperately need the hope that is only found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're a born-again believer, you have that hope and you know where to find that hope. So we have it's a responsibility, but it's also a privilege. It's an honor to get to share the good news that changed our lives and share that with somebody else. We're not responsible for whether they receive it or not. But if they receive it, we get to see God work in their lives and bless them. And doesn't that just thrill your heart when you see God working in somebody's life?
Amen.
And if you get to play a little part in that, you know, it's not to give us pride in us, but just to think God can accomplish what he wants to do in any way. And the fact that he would use somebody like me in even a small way, it blows my mind. But what an honor and what a privilege, right?
Amen.
We want to see lives changed, and we want God to use us as a vessel that he can work through. What we believe about the Bible and why we believe what we believe about the Bible is so important. We can't take it for granted. We need to be ready to share it with others. I don't know about y'all. I am so thankful that God has revealed to us his holy word. Aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the word. Lord, it is what we base our beliefs upon, and it is what we want to base the very lives that we live upon, God. You are the cornerstone, God. You are our foundation. You are creator, our life giver and life sustainer. And God, you have revealed yourself through the word and through your son, Jesus. And I pray, God, that each and every one of us would value your word more than we ever have before. I pray that each and every one of us would hide the word in our hearts so that we can be ready to share it. And I pray that each and every one of us will be excited about every opportunity that you give us to share the gospel with somebody else. God, you are good and your word is good. I pray that you would help us to grow this day and this year and forever until we're in your presence, Lord. We want to grow closer to you, and we want to grow in the word, God. So your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We love you, Lord, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you would stand to your feet, we'll have our time of response.